Greetings and lots of love to you. Welcome and thank you for joining us on Nia2X Radio, the voice of the people. Today, it's Black History is 24/7 permanently. We are sponsored by Loudmouth. That's right. We are excited and happy of the opening of this documentary on the big screen around the country of the life and battles of the Honorable Reverend Dr. Al Sharpton. And co-sponsoring this hour is Upright Carpet Cleaning, who clean residential and commercial properties in the DMV. Now look, hold on to your seats for real, for real. Today our fortune is evident with our distinguished, honorable, world-renowned guest, no stranger to our broadcast or stranger to anyone involved in the struggle for human rights, civil rights, women rights, and justice to all across the country and literally across the world, coming today to educate us about the good news concerning the 2022 midterm elections and how Black people across the country won prominent congressional seats in the United States government. Now, it's our pleasure, without further delay, welcome Sister Reverend Dr. Author, radio host, United Nations Ambassador for Peace, Dr. E. Faye Williams.
Oh, wow. I feel like I should have applauded you the way you said all of that.
We're applauding you because you know I left out so many other titles that you have earnestly earned from hard work, from struggle, from being raised correct, from being committed to what it takes to be as successful as you are, breaking in doors of injustice, dismantling injustice, and having not only hundreds, not only thousands, millions of people to gain from your hard work that you constantly do. And when we look at you do it, it doesn't even seem like it's work. It's what you're born to do. So it's our pleasure, sister, to honor you here again with the tough schedule that you have working on behalf of God's children here in this universe. Peace to you, sister.
Well, peace to you. And you know, I'm always pleased and blessed that I've gained so many titles, but it's really my testimonies that are more important, because those, I hope, represent what we do for our people. And I know you do many of those same things too, so I'm proud to call you sister.
Well, look, you know, I tell you and I tell others, I am your student. You are my teacher. And I'm a student always learning, like we all are. And if you see me doing anything good, that's a reflection of my mother and yourself and many other great teachers, who, because we're all still learning. But to have you in our company on this station, and anytime we can hear what you have to say, it benefits. And I pray and believe that they say when one of us make it here, a thousand in heaven rejoice. So we have a schedule to give to our listeners. I mean, this is good news. When you pulled my coattail in a conversation last week, allowing me to understand the victories that have been accomplished from Black people across the country that have been elected to congressional seats in the United States government. I want to start off, I'm sure you know, with the youngest mayor in the history of the United States is now a mayor.
Yes,
in
ma'am.
The city. Go ahead, Sister Doctor.
Oh, yeah, young man by the name of Jalen Smith in Earl, Arkansas, 18 years old. He's already the mayor of his city. I know his parents and all in the city must be awfully proud of this young man. And, you know, we thought that 25 was pretty young when the young man won the congressional seat down in Florida, the young man by the name of Frost. He won that seat in Florida when Congresswoman Valerie Demings ran for the Senate. So we thought that was pretty young, and we were so proud of him. But here we come, this brother Jalen Smith down in Earl, Arkansas. Most of us hadn't even heard of Earl, Arkansas, let alone this 18-year-old brother. But that town must have great sense and must know that young people have a lot to offer, and they went out and elected him so that he has much of his life ahead of him to do many, many great things. As he says, there are many things he still wants to do. So I'm
Absolutely.
Proud of the young people who are accomplishing all of these things. You know, the young man in Florida was named Maxwell Frost. He'll be coming to Washington very soon. And I'm sure he is applauding the young brother down in Arkansas, who is also very young. I'm just so pleased to see young people stepping up. You know, many times people will criticize young people that these young people don't know this or they don't know that. But let me tell you, young people stepped up in this last election, and they can be put together with black women who generally did so much to get so many great people elected, and I am so proud of all the young people. I hope that in the 2024 election, or if there are any elections in cities and states around the country, that many more young people will take that plunge and know that they, too, have something to offer. And I hope they will always remember their elders who did so much to pave the way so that these young people could do the wonderful things that they are doing. You know, sometimes we push our elders aside and we think they don't know anything, they didn't do anything, but my Lord, our elders have done so much. It was dangerous for them to do those things, even more dangerous than today. And so I am pleased with young people who are stepping out there and appreciating what the elders before them did. You know, one of my elders was the Honorable Dick Gregory. I learned so much from him. I know you talk about what you learned from me, but I learned so much from him. I learned so much from my mom. Well, my mom didn't have a whole bunch of degrees, but she understood the importance of politics and of who we were registering and who we were, you know, getting out there and voting for every election day. My mom didn't stand for us making excuses for not going out there and trying to make a difference in our lives, because every time we voted, we knew that something good could happen for our people if only we were willing to go out there and to work for it. But again, I'm proud of the young people, and I just hope that all of us who have been out there for years are ready to support them in what they are doing.
Outstanding. I want to comment when you talk about the danger. And prior to that, Earl, Arkansas, is 30 miles northwest of Memphis, Tennessee, with a population just under 2,000 people. That's back to Jalen Smith, the youngest mayor ever elected as a mayor here in the United States, a brother fresh out of high school and into college, his first year. And that's just a testament to the campaigning that people like yourself, people all over the country, Stacey Abrams, and many other names that we don't know. It was painting a picture that we're not voting and we're apathetic, but the reality has produced in the midterm elections for 2022 some outstanding victories that are going to be discussed today. We're talking with our distinguished VIP indeed. She doesn't call herself that, but she is a very important SP, that's a sister person indeed. You are definitely the definition of sister when black brothers and sisters call each other those high titles. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said the best name to give to a black male or female is brother, not doctor, not congressperson, etc. It is either brother or sister. Those are high, strong, and the highest of titles to call one another. So it's an honor.
I'm glad you said that because Faye Williams.
Go ahead, sister.
I'm glad you said that, Sister Neal, because in when we did the Million Man March, I remember how wonderful it was in those days following that march, and while we were planning for it, that there were no arguments, there were no problems in our communities, and we were calling each other brother and sister and meaning it, giving each other hugs. It was like a new birth for us. And just a little while ago, when we celebrated the 27th anniversary of that march, I remember my remarks saying, we need to have another one of those marches because some of our people have forgotten what that was like, or either they weren't around then, they didn't participate, but there's no way you could have participated in that Million Man March and not feel some closeness and some responsibility to the rest of our brothers and sisters who often cannot speak for themselves.
Absolutely, and you can't talk enough about the Million Man March when one man called for his brothers to come here to Washington, D.C., October 16th, 1995, here for atonement, also responsibility, and and reconciliation, atonement to God, responsible as a man. If you're a father, you're not with your wife or your girlfriend,
your children.
You still have children.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, reconciling our differences without killing one another and being able to speak to one another. And, you know, if we get on this Million Man March, we'll miss our interview because there's so much to talk about. I want to go quickly back before we move forward about the word you used, the danger. That's very important. Of the past, attempting to get people to vote and to participate. When you think about Fannie Lou Hamer of Mississippi,
Ida B. Wells, Barton. Oh, Ida B. Wells, we have to mention.
Well, she was ran out of town for her participation, ensuring that black men that were being hung by the thousands, were innocent. And were falsely accused, and she had the newspaper and would use that ink pen and that paper to put out the truth, and she was ran out of the South. I want to say, what was
from
that
Tennessee,
state?
Tennessee, I think, to
Thank
Chicago.
You. I think it was Tennessee.
Yeah.
It wasn't Mississippi.
Yeah, well, you know, we went down to Tennessee not long ago, but that's another story. But I just want to say that Ida B. Wells was such a wonderful sister, and all of us need to know her history. For people who are listening, if you don't know Ida B. Wells, after that she was called Ida B. Wells Barnett, but at that time she was Ida B. Wells. All of us need to know what this sister did. So in 2009, Dick Gregory, was alive then, and we decided that it was time for us to put an end to this lynching. And, you know, here we are again, which I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit later. But what we did was walk the halls of Congress to get a simple apology for, you know, lynching, like the one that was done to our little brother, Emmett Till. That was 2009. We had to twist arms. We had to walk those halls. We had to beg. But we finally got that passed just for the Senate to apologize for never having issued, you know, a law against or an apology against lynching in this country. And then come this year, 2022, finally the Congress passed a law called the Emmett Till, you know, anti-lynching law. And that takes time. Now we have steps forward to go from that, and I hope you'll come back to that.
Oh, absolutely. Just have your way, sister. Dr. Ife Williams is our guest today. If you're just tuning in, the program today is Black History is 24/7 permanently. We are in charge of owning, controlling, telling, preserving our story with two principles, truth and facts. We don't need others to tell us what we are not only knowing, or rather, Yes, learning and knowing. But we have many among us today who were literally in the heart of the struggle, in the heart of Jim Crow, still living today, giving us their truthful, factual stories. But again, quickly, we're going to go back to Sister Dr. Ife Williams. My point about danger is not only was it dangerous back there, and certainly even more, but let's remember, it is still dangerous today. Many of these candidates are still receiving death threats from ignorant devils in the flesh who are still opposed to human beings living in peace. So let's go back to Sister Dr. Ife Williams and talk about the victories of those that ran all over the country, and we want to make sure that our listeners know that we are celebrating right now because we have victories, and everybody can talk about the runoff in the Georgia victory. And sister, you have the floor. What are your thoughts?
Oh my. Well, you know, the Congressional Black Caucus started out with just a handful of members some years ago, and it was hard to get any black person elected. Today, I think it's over 60. They have not released the exact number of people who were arrested. Who were elected. I said arrested. Maybe that's what it was too, but elected. But we have, I know this past year we had at least 58 people. And not only have we had new people elected, like the one in Georgia that you mentioned, the Reverend Warnock. Oh, my goodness, that was such an exciting race for all of us. We had been waiting to try to prevent the Senate from losing the Senate, because that is where we have to depend, since we have so many black people, men and women, in the Senate now. I mean, in the Senate and in the House. And even though we lost the House, but we still have a lot of people there strong. See, the thing about it is we don't have to have the great numbers. We just have to have strong people who are elected, who are standing there, and who are speaking up for us, because there was a time we didn't have them. But let's go to Georgia. Georgia now has several black elected officials. They have Congresswoman Nakema Williams. She's actually the chair of the Democratic Party in Georgia, if you can believe that. She is also the co-chair in the Democratic Leadership Committee, which all of this is news. Jim Clyburn, of course, has been a leader, but he continues to be the assistant Democratic leader. He's from South Carolina. There was a time black people in South Carolina and all these places, you know, weren't even welcome to vote. Not that they're so welcome now. But I want to do a shout-out to Stacey Abrams. Were it not for Stacey Abrams lighting that fire, not just to black people, but conscious other people in Georgia, we might not have had Senator Warnock today. It was a hard-fought race, but we came out victorious in that. And, you know, the haters did what they always do. They put up another black person against Senator Warnock, you know, to try to make him lose and to have someone so-called representing us who is not who we are. That person who ran against him does not represent the brilliance of the black people who are in this United States Congress. So that's the one I want to concentrate on to show you that Georgia has made a difference, and a lot of it was due to the work of Stacey Abrams. Don't forget, black women have been so instrumental in making things happen in this country and around the world. So every time you see a sister, I hope you'll call her sister. I hope you will thank her for all the work that she did. Oh, yeah, there are brothers who do a lot, too. But sisters never fail to come out on top in voting. They know how so many of our sisters died. We didn't mention Fannie Lou Hamer before, even, and there were many, many others. But these sisters are always up there near 100% voting for the right candidates that are going to do the most for us, and they themselves are going to be there to see that the good things are being done for our neighborhoods. Can you imagine what a black caucus we have now with more than nearly 60 members in it? to be there standing up for us on every vote. And we, these people who are there, do not mind speaking out. We have Cori Bush from over in Missouri, Jamal Bowman from New York. We have Eleanor Holmes Norton from right here in Washington, D.C., Terry Sewell from Alabama, Frederica Wilson from Florida. I mean, Sheila Jackson Lee.
Call the roll.
We see
call
her the all the time.
Call the roll.
These are the people that when we hear them speak, we need to listen because they're going to be telling us things that we need to know. But Cory Booker, how can you forget Cory Booker, how he stood up to help to get our person in the Ketanji Brown Jackson, to get her on that Supreme Court. Again, first time ever to have a black woman on the United States Supreme Court. But again, a lot of the energy goes back to Stacey Abrams. Let us not forget that sister. She sacrificed and ran twice for governor of Georgia. Dangerous to even think about doing that, but she did it, and she helped so many others to get elected, not only there, but around the country. She gave us all energy. She gave us all, you know, to just everything that we needed, motivation to make sure that we were doing similar things around the country. And don't forget President Obama. President Obama went all over this country. He didn't even have to do that, but he went all over this country to work to get more of our people elected. Oh, some of us are disappointed that he didn't get to go to North Carolina, but again, he wasn't running the election. I hope we'll remember that, because there was a sister there who could have won that election with a little more help. So those of us who are out here who think that we have something to offer, and I hope most of us do, we have to speak up and we have to decide. When one person is not doing it, we have to be there standing by, wanting to take that trip, go where we need to give help to a sister or to a brother who is running. Just think of how strong this caucus will be now. We have even the Democratic leader from New York, Hakeem Jeffries. Whoever thought that a black man would be coming on when Nancy Pelosi, who was such a strong woman, a strong leader, but she would be succeeded by a young black man by the name of Hakeem Jeffries as the Democratic leader. Now, Jim Clyburn, the assistant Democratic leader, we know that he has a lot to offer. The Democratic Caucus Vice Chair, Joyce Beatty, great sister from Ohio. She's just finishing up her term, I believe, as chair of the Congressional Black Caucus. They accomplished a lot under her leadership. Joe Neguse from Colorado, the Democratic Policy Committee for Communications, and Nakima Williams from Georgia, as I said, is co-chair. Lauren Underwood from Illinois. I mean, there's just a roll call that we can be so proud of now. Nobody is out there by themselves anymore, because almost every state that we can think of where we are, we have elected someone from Texas, from Florida, from Virginia, from Maryland, New York, Louisiana, Florida, Virginia. Oh, my, just think about it, how proud we are for all of these people. And we have to not criticize them, because remember, they work under various kinds of handicaps that other people don't. So when something doesn't happen the first time when they try to do it, please don't criticize them. Help them figure out how to do it and to succeed the next time. And the other thing is, we can elect even more black people, but you know what we as a people have to learn is that no matter how small our donations are, we have to be willing and ready to give up the money, because, you know, many people answer to the money that supports them. We have to support our own, because we need them to impact us, to represent us, but they also need money to run for these offices. So you don't have to think your little $10 or $5 or whatever won't count, because it does count. Even if we have to give small amounts of money, we have to pay to get the people elected that we want elected. And we have such strong people. I mean, it's hard to even try to name all of them. And as soon as they all come out, I'll be happy to come back and give you the names of all of the people. But one of the ones that we're most proud of that's new, and that's the young 25-year-old brother from Florida who succeeded Val Demings, and that's Maxwell Frost. Remember that name, Maxwell Frost. And when he comes to Washington, I hope we'll all welcome him with open arms, just as we do with our other leaders, but especially because he's so young and so knowledgeable, so smart, And I hope we will recognize all youth who are trying to run for these offices and encourage them to do so.
Absolutely. When you go back to Stacey Abrams, we want to make sure people also know, as you stated, her soldiering really got the youth, women, and voters of color to participate who normally in the past, again, were apathetic and probably uneducated, as I was for years, until President Obama won that first part of the election or was nominated. I had lost my hope and my interest in what I called polytricks. But when he won, I began to pay attention. When I started working with the Honorable Reverend Al Sharpton, I really had to begin to educate myself, because he's just Mr. Politics himself, like you. And if you're going to represent people like yourself and the Honorable Reverend Sharpton, you have to know something.
And we, you know, we're blessed to have Reverend Sharpton, who is on MSNBC, who brings us the news that we need to hear. He goes around this country all over working for the good of our people. And, you know, whatever criticism some might have of him, we could not know all the things that we know without him. We would not be as blessed if he were not always willing to go into places sometimes and work to help families where it may be dangerous for him to go. But he is there, and we can always depend upon him to speak for us. I was listening to him recently, and he talked about how, yes, things have changed, but he too has changed. When many people were younger, they did some things that, you know, were not necessarily in the best interest of our country. But as you grow up, you should also grow in your knowledge and what you're doing. And I don't think there's anybody who can match what Reverend Sharpton is doing these days for our people and to promote the things that are best for us without caring what anybody else says. So I congratulate him. I applaud him. And, yeah,
yes,
when I have the money, I pay my dues, too.
That's right. You are a member of the Greater D.C. chapter, as well as myself, of the National Action Network. We're going to take a quick commercial break and come right back to our guest, who is informing, educating us, and also proving, as I always say, black people are on the rise. I'm Nia 2X. We're going to take a quick commercial break and come right back and talk about the recent new black governor of Maryland. Keep it right here, Nia 2X Radio, the voice of the people. We're not hearing anything.
Greetings, everyone. My name is Cherie White. We celebrate Black History 24/7 permanently. Remember the words of the late great civil rights fighter, Dr. Joseph Lowery, who said, "We ain't going back. We come too far, marched too long, prayed too hard, wept too bitterly, bled too profusely, and died too young to let nobody turn back the clock on our journey to justice." Celebrate and appreciate Black History 24/7 permanently at www.blackonblackunity.com.
All right, thank you. And also sponsoring this portion of the program, here's the big question: how did the iconic civil rights advocate, who became famous for his outspoken rhetoric, become one of the nation's most prominent leaders of the movement? Loud mouth cuts through the cliches and assumptions surrounding the tracksuit-wearing crusader to investigate the roots of his political engagement and his transformation into a media-savvy activist. You know exactly who I'm talking about. It's all about loud mouth. That's right. Loud mouth around the country is the title of what the Honorable Reverend Sharpton is doing, and it opens today around the country. The opening for his documentary is in 20 big screens around America, coming to a city near you. Don't miss our brother, the Honorable Reverend Dr. Al Sharpton, on the big screen with a new in-depth documentary about his life and his immeasurable sacrifices, struggles, triumphs, leadership, and love for God first and love for his people, receiving Almighty God's justice. Find Loudmouth in a theater near you. Go to www.nationalactionnetwork.net. And finally, co-sponsoring this portion of the program is Upright Carpet Cleaning. Upright Carpet Cleaning are the pros cleaning carpets with top of the line products. They give tip-top service as well as affordable prices. You can get three rooms cleaned, whether it's residential or commercial, for only $149. That's right, $149, three rooms. Get the job done. Call Upright Carpet Cleaning, serving the DMV. That's D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, 240-280-6607. Upright Carpet Cleaning. We thank our black-owned businesses and services, and we encourage everyone, support black-owned businesses and services only if they're quality and professional, not just because they're black. Remember, we're on the rise. And if you have a problem with a black-owned business, maybe one to two times, don't quit them. Just come in as a brother or a sister and let them know what the issue is, and we hope that it can be resolved and we keep it moving. Speaking of keeping it moving, we're going back to our distinguished VIP who ran for Congress herself, and we're talking about Sister Dr. Ife Williams. Before she speaks about that experience, hey, we have more to talk about for the victories in the midterm elections 2022. So what are we talking about? Our brother in the state of Maryland becoming the first governor in the state of Maryland, and I'm talking about, I'm sorry, his name is Westmore.
Yes, he's the first black governor of Maryland. Yeah.
Thank you, sister, for that correction. I appreciate that. The first black governor. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. First one of us, in other words.
Come on now.
You know, and I just love what one of his sayings, you know, when he was asked why he was running for governor, and he said, "I believe no matter where you start in life, you deserve an equal opportunity to succeed." And he went out there. I'm sure there were people who discouraged him, who probably told him it would never happen, and yet he went out there, and there was no problem. I mean, so we know that more than just our people voted for him. They had to. So they must have seen that he would make a great governor of Maryland, and we're all just looking forward to his term in office, and I hope that all of us will be supporting him and know that when you first come out, you may not do everything that people expect you to do, but let's be there to prop him up where he needs our help. Even we don't have to live in Maryland to want this brother to succeed, and the reason we want to do that is we want other young people to understand that they too can be what Barack has already shown us, you can be president. Now, you know, Wes Moore can show us, you know, like others have, that you can be the governor of a state. We've had other governors of other states, but this one is really special because it's in this period of time when there is so much hate out there, so much meanness, and, you know, and sometimes we're doing it to each other, too. We've got to stop it. We need to be there propping up, helping each other to do the very best that we can when we're trying to do things for our people. I know that many of us have been victims of you know, the poor treatment, the attempts to bring us down, the jealousy, whatever. But it's okay. Everybody who's going through that, just keep on doing what you do to make sure that our young people have the opportunity to grow up. And as my mother and Coach Robinson, Eddie Robinson from Grambling, would always say, "Baby, you can be anything you want to be, so long as you're willing to pay the price, and sometimes the price is high. As I said, you might get knocked down even by your own people sometime. But if you know that what you're doing is righteous, you just keep on doing it. And, of course, there is someone greater than all the people who are against you, and that's God Almighty, as you would say, Allah, who can help us to get these things done for our people. And we grow each year in terms of what we're doing. We have young people doing so many things, and I'm so proud of them. So let's help them. Let's help even more. Now, it doesn't mean that if we are of a certain age that we've got to stop, we've got to sit down. No, we need all of our talent. We need all of our experience to make things happen in this country. There are people who think that we're going back in many ways, but we have made some progress, but there's still much more progress to make. And let's just ignore those who are out there trying to stop us from making that progress and say thank you to our ancestors who died to give us these opportunities to do even greater things than they did.
Absolutely. I think people can hear why you are my teacher and I am your student, and everyone listening right now is your student. I hear this information from her and lots of more over the years. As mentioned, our guest, Dr. E. Faye Williams, is president. Well, we didn't say it, but we're going to say it. You ran for a congressional seat in Louisiana. We want to hear about that briefly, and then we want to hear about you being head founder of the Dick Gregory Society. Let's hear a little bit about you running and what actually happened briefly. But before you do, we want to make sure the audience knows that in 1990, the first black elected governor was Douglas Wilder in Virginia. In 2007, Deval Patrick.
Patrick.
In 2007, in Massachusetts. And now, in our lifetime, 2022, Wes Moore here in Maryland as well.
And, of course, in addition to that, we've had some lieutenant governors. For instance, Congressman Mervyn Dimeley was lieutenant governor, but when the governor was away, he was acting governor. So we want to recognize him, too. He was a good friend. I worked for him when he was here in the United States Congress. So I like to stretch it as far as we can in terms of what we as a people have done. Yes.
And we have a few more names. I didn't jot them down in the research, but you're so right, Dr. Williams. Mm-hmm. There are other names that can be mentioned, hopefully on an upcoming interview, to make sure on this Black History program we know the names.
Yes.
Speaking of the names,
What
happened? What year did you run? And tell us a little bit about it before we hear about your current work with the Dick Gregory Society.
In 1985, I had finished law school, and I went away to the Netherlands on a trip to go to visit with their Supreme Court, to visit with labor, visit with all of their government officials. And I must say, it's easier in the Netherlands than it is here to meet with a lot of the VIPs, but I spent 6 weeks in the Netherlands, and when I was about to return to the United States after having taken my bar exam, and I was waiting for my bar score, I was ready to leave, and there was a big banquet in my honor as I was leaving, and the person who introduced me announced that I was coming back home to run for the United States Congress. Well, that was news to me, but there were members of the Congressional Black Caucus led by Congressman Mervyn Dimeley who had decided there was an opening in Louisiana, and why not run? Now, you know Louisiana, and they have some strange politics. They're known for that. They still have some strange politics. But anyway, I came back, and I did as they told me. I was the candidate, so I had a home in Louisiana, so I returned to Louisiana, announced that I was running for the United States Congress. Well, no black person had ever run a viable campaign for the United States Congress from Louisiana. And so I decided to run, and I won the primary. Once I won the primary, oh, man, all kinds of things started to happen. I had to have black police officers and others who would be on top of buildings with long guns and what have you to protect me, because we got a lot of threats, you know. They were not accustomed to seeing a black person run for anything other than maybe some small local, some small local things, and not even in New Orleans. New Orleans had not even had a black congressperson, and they were the big city. But now There are more than 20 black women who are mayors of cities. Since I ran, they tell me, or many of them tell me, that I was their inspiration. And black women have been mayors of New Orleans, the largest city, Baton Rouge, and Shreveport. There is no longer a woman in Shreveport. There is a brother who is the mayor now. But all of these things happened after I ran. And while I did not get credit for winning the race, there was a mysterious computer breakdown the night of the runoff. And, of course, I was announced as the winner. And once I was announced as the winner, there was a mysterious computer breakdown, because I'm told that there were some people who were in charge of elections who said, oh, this just can't be happening. So it was called back, and when the score was settled, I was told that I lost by less than 0.5%. I got the name at that point of Louisiana's Congresswoman in Exile. I didn't challenge it because I didn't have the money. There again, I was talking about the importance of our putting money into our elections, but I had to put up hundreds of my own dollars just to run the race. And so I didn't challenge the election. But in my heart, and in the heart of many young people, especially in Louisiana, understood the importance of my run. Today, there's so many black elected officials in Louisiana, and it was not just black people or black women who were inspired by my race. Shortly after I ran, there was a white woman who ran for governor of Louisiana. That too was almost unheard of. There was a white woman who ran for mayor of my hometown, and she became known as the White Faye Williams, you know. So all of these, I'm just happy that I was able to inspire so many people to run. Today, since I ran, New Orleans has always had a black congressman from that time, and right now it's Troy Carter, and he is one of the leaders of the Congressional Black Caucus now, so I'm very proud of him. And there have been several black congresspeople from New Orleans since that time. So whenever we don't always get the benefit of what we do, but when we help somebody else, just like our ancestors years ago did, I'm pleased to have people who were inspired by, you know, what I did. I'm sure some of my nieces, nephews, and others are inspired to do some of the things that they do. And that's how we should all look at it, is that we can influence something good to happen, even if we're not the winner of it. But we should always be proud of everyone across this country who looks like us, who is elected. And I hope that will continue, and that we'll get many more governors, many more mayors, even some more black presidents. Maybe a while, because, you know, a lot of this hatred that we're seeing today, it's because we elected Barack Obama. No one at that time, or not many people, thought that he could win, but he persisted. He put that hope out there, and that's what we all have to do when we want to get someone elected, is at least believe it can be done. He believed it could be done, and he made us believe it. Therefore, we not only have the first black governors and the first black, you know, other people, the first black, we have the first black vice president who is a woman.
That's right.
We have the first black governor of Maryland, and so many more firsts. But let us not allow this to be the last. Let us start now. 2024 will be here before we know it. So let's start looking around our communities and seeing who it is that best represents us, and start working on them, getting them to agree to run for whatever the office is. And don't underestimate the importance of the dog catcher in your community, or somebody who's working on the environment or whatever. All of these things are important. So let's find people who will run. And I don't mean do it like they did down in Georgia and put somebody like Herschel Walker out there, because that's what a lot of people think about us. Is that all those things that were wrong with Herschel Walker, bless his heart, and he did a pretty good little, you know, speech at the end of it. He didn't act crazy, but all through it, when he was doing all that crazy stuff, people looked at that perhaps and thought that's the way most of us act, but we don't. I don't know who taught him, who told him to say some of the crazy things he had. I don't know who told him to talk about the vampire and the werewolf.
It probably was Donald Trump. It probably was Donald that told him, because it sounded just like, yes, you know, dark-skinned Donald, or worse.
Yeah, and then in the end, Donald Trump was not there to help him through it, and you know, God bless everyone for that not happening. But I am so proud of those, not just the black people, but there were so many white people who had to vote for Senator Raphael Warnock. I thank God that Georgia is no longer thought of as a red state. But if we can just get some more states to being purple states and moving on to blue states, then we can accomplish much, much more. And even there may be some of our brothers and sisters who will, you know, get the message and decide to run for the other party and try to help clean it up, because it is in such bad shape right now. But even with things happening like Brittany Griner coming home, you have some of the Republicans who cannot bring themselves to say that's a good thing that President, see, I always say Obama because he's always my president, but President Biden has done to
and
bring
Vice President Kamala Harris played a major role.
Yes, absolutely. So let's be proud of all of our people who are doing things so that they don't have to cheat. They don't have to go and say terrible things about us. They don't have to talk about us like Herschel did, bless his heart, during that campaign. He didn't know any better. He was being fed.
He didn't know.
All of that stuff. Now we learned that they had over 500 pages of negative stuff about him, his campaign team had, and they let him go out there and make a fool of himself. But, you know
they were trying to split that black vote,
yes,
I believe.
Yes,
I want the audience to know, when you mentioned that they nicknamed you Congresswoman in Exile, that it was Reverend Jesse Jackson that gave you that title.
Yes. Yes,
I wanted
Reverend
people
Jackson
to know
did,
that during this Black
did come
History
down
show.
To,
please, just go ahead.
Well, thank you. Reverend Jackson did come down to Louisiana and campaigned with me, and I received, I think, I'm told, the second highest number of votes in the country that year for someone running for Congress. Because when I ran for Congress, I mean, many of these members of Congress were winning on 35,000, 40,000 votes. I got almost 100,000 and, quote, still lost. No one believed that. I remember one of my little nephews who was about 4 or 5 years old at the time, and he said, they cheated you. You know, he couldn't say cheated. He said, they cheated you. The little children were so excited. Parents would tell me that their children had never listened to the news before, but every time I came on with a commercial or I was speaking for something, they told me their children sat at rapt attention. So we have to understand the impressions we make on children. Even little children, we're talking little 4 and 5 year old children, their parents said they would sit there and they would listen to every word. I remember going to a school one day, and I made my little speech to the children, and you know, we campaigned to the children too, because they go home and tell their parents who was at their school or who did what. And I said to the children, you can grow up to be anything you want to be. And I went back several months later, and I asked that little girl, do you remember what I said to you? And she said, you said that we could grow up to be anything we want to be. And I was so pleased with that, because you wouldn't think that a little second grade girl would remember that long, but she remembered. And I hope it has inspired her. She's probably an adult now, but I hope it inspired her to understand that, to believe that, and to go on to be whatever she wanted to be. And you may not always make it on the first try, but you just keep on trying. You just keep getting up every time get knocked down. And I've been knocked down a whole bunch of times. But
we're getting ready to get knocked off, and we don't want to get knocked off.
Okay.
We want to hear, you know, of the radio show, I'm saying. We only have 2 minutes left with our distinguished guest, Dr. E. Faye Williams. And she has a whole lot more to say. But we want to know currently what you're doing with the legendary icon, our brother, the father of humanity, Dick Gregory. You have the Dick Gregory Society. You have the floor, Dr. E. Faye Williams.
Quickly, you know, I do radio too, so I know how it is. But Dick Gregory was my best friend at the time he passed away. I was the last person in the room with him when he was lying there on that table. And I promised him that I would continue the kind of work that he was doing, and that's what I've been trying to do. I have what's called the Dick Gregory Society, and put the in front of it, thedickgregorysociety.org. Please go there, get more information, and I hope you will want to become a Dick Gregory disciple. I remember when we were in Bowling Green the other day, a young man ran up to me, and he was so excited to know that I knew Dick Gregory, and he told me he'd read everything he ever wrote. I want your listeners to do that. Read about Dick Gregory. He was more than a comedian. He was that. He was perfect, but he also did many other things for our cause all of his life, and he gave up a lot to do it.
Listen, you also said that you are a radio host. Please give us the 411. How can we hear more of your radio show, the title?
Yes. quickly. It's called Wake Up and Stay Woke. Those were the last words I heard Dick Gregory say the day that he left us. And the name of my program is Wake Up and Stay Woke. You can go to WPFWFM.org, hear my show every Wednesday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. That's FM. WPFWFM.org. And of course, soon I'll have our good brother on, who many of you know as Malik Zulu Shabazz. And he's going to be telling us a lot of things that's going on that you can get involved into.
And we're talking about our brother, the warrior lawyer, head of Black Lawyers for Justice, and
yes,
also head of the new Black Panther Party, because
yes,
just 6 days ago, not even a week ago, in Bowling Green, Kentucky, to have the arrest warrant served to Carolyn Bryant Dunham, who was the lady that lied on Emmett Till, and Emmett Till suffered, his family suffered, and the nation suffered. So he's going to be on your radio show when, ma'am?
Wednesday coming up, I think that's the 14th of December, and I look forward to having everybody on, and that we'll have another chance to talk about what's going on there. Just today, the World Conference of Mayors passed a resolution in support of what we are doing, what we did in Bowling Green, and Malik has promised that wherever Carolyn Bryant is, the woman who caused the lynching, we're going to find her until that warrant is served. And the World Conference of Mayors voted to be involved to get the Justice Department to reopen the case and also to send that plea to President Joe Biden, too.
This is breaking news heard on NIA2X Radio, the voice of the people. We're going to have our guest, Sister Dr. E. Faye Williams, repeat what she just said, the breaking news of the update on the Emmett Till arrest warrant being served to Carolyn Bryant Dunham. What did you say, Sister
Just
Doctor?
This morning, as a member of the World Conference Board of Directors, under former mayor of Tuskegee, Johnny Ford, I was asked to explain what we were doing in Bowling Green, and I did at the meeting. They immediately voted as a board representing mayors from all across the world, not just the country, but all across the world. They voted to do a resolution in order to support what we're doing, to send it to the Justice Department to reopen the case and also to the President of the United States. And that's
Thank
what we
you.
Need. We need you to urge that that happens to of your members of Congress.
Now, you, brothers, sisters, people of goodwill, you can get even more information coming up December 14th on WPFWFM.org. If you're out of town here in the DMV, we know it's 89.3 FM. So let us listen to stay updated, to stay current as we push for God's justice for all of humanity. But we know Black people are at the bottom today and yesterday, and we're working behind the leadership of sisters like Dr. Ife William, brothers like Brother Dr. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, and Brother John C. Barnett, head of the Thug, which is True Healing Under God. And NIA2X Radio, the voice of the people, was there in Bowling Green, also serving, supporting, and getting the 411. Everything we do is all for you. You have 5 seconds. We got to shut it down, Sister Dr. Ife Williams. We are over, and we can lose this show if we continue on. Please, in 5 to 10 seconds, your closing remarks.
My closing remarks was that Emmett Till's death in 1955 is still relevant, and we need to get involved and make sure justice is served.
Absolutely. And don't forget to hear her program. Stay tuned. Also, here on NIA2X Radio, found at www.com. blackonblackunity.com. We're profanity-free, and again, we do it all for you. Thank you, Dr. Williams. Thank you to our sponsors, Loudmouth, in 20 theaters around the country, www.nationalactionnetwork.net to find a theater near you. And also, thank you to Upright Carpet Cleaning. Remember, you can get your carpet cleaned at $149. Those are three rooms. Thank you for listening. Thank you to our audience, to our engineer today, Sister Naima, making it happen. Peace, love, fight the good fight, and thank you, Dr. Ife Williams, with the Dick Gregory Society. Peace, love, and fight the power.